This is Membercare Media, a ministry of TWR, with some thoughts to help you in your work and daily life. This is a copyright production of Membercare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Last week at this time, we looked at conflict and the cross-cultural Christian worker. We really only started on the subject, so today let's take another look and maybe see if we can learn how to resolve conflict that comes into our lives and our working lives and our social relationships. Well, conflict is a big subject, so big that when I did a search on the web using Google, I came up with something like 14 million references. And no, I didn't attempt to read them all. For our purposes here, we're just going to concentrate on some of those conflicts that affect you as an expat and a cross-cultural Christian worker. You know, the kind of conflicts that come between you and a fellow worker, or maybe between you and management or headquarters. You'd be very unusual if you haven't experienced conflict like this at some time, at some level, because it happens to all of us. As we said last week, conflict can happen whenever two or more people who hold different opinions are in a close relationship. So unless you're completely by yourself with no contact of any kind with anyone else, there's probably going to be conflict of some kind. It's part of being human. Remember, last week we talked about Paul back in the book of Acts in the Bible and some of the conflicts he experienced. Okay, we're cross-cultural workers. We're involved in ministry in some way. This may mean that you work more or less alone with a small group, with a group of people from the local culture where you happen to be living right now, or maybe with a team as part of a large organization. Whichever of those scenarios best describes your situation, it is almost a guarantee that sometime in the course of each day, you will encounter some level of a situation that includes some kind of conflict, and maybe a very small disagreement about the way something should be done, a difference of opinion. But it is still a small taste of conflict. This doesn't mean that you are not a spiritual person. Even those we describe as the most godly and spiritual of people that we may know experience times of conflict. Our friend Ron Kateski has spent a good deal of time helping expat Christian workers, or if you prefer, cross-cultural workers. He's written a number of helpful materials, and one of those items he's written is a brief guide to coping with conflict. We're going to explore some of what Ron has written on this subject today, and for the next couple of weeks again, hopefully we can find something that will help you or me and the next time we encounter one of those extremely inevitable conflict situations. As Ron has noted, conflict has been part of overseas work since the very beginning. Just look at the stories of any of the early cross-cultural Christian workers mentioned in the Bible, in particular in the book of Acts, and you'll find moments of conflict. Why does it happen? Why do we have conflict? What should we do about it? What steps can we take to resolve it? What do you do if you feel like you're being attacked verbally and emotionally? And what do you do if the conflict, for some reason, cannot be resolved? One of the things we mentioned last week was this. Conflict occurs whenever people who care have different opinions on important issues. As a matter of fact, the more you care, the more important the issue, the more intense the conflict can be. Conflicts are simply a fact of life, and they're destructive only if they're not handled correctly. So, what should we do about conflict? First, the conflict needs to be resolved quickly as possible. In Matthew 5, Jesus noted that if you're offering your gift to God at the altar and suddenly remember that there is an unresolved conflict with another believer, you should leave your gift right there and go and settle the conflict, then return to offer your gift. We're to settle matters quickly, but we should carefully pick the time and place to be reconciled. Sometimes there's still a lot of emotion floating around from the conflict, and it might be best to wait for things to cool down a little, for emotions to become more calm before approaching the other person. Don't make it a big public display. In other words, if there are other people around, wait a while. Don't involve all these other people in the dispute. The important thing, though, is to resolve the conflict as soon and as quickly as possible. Why? Well, I really think the answer there is quite obvious. If you wait and don't resolve the conflict, it's very possible that the feelings and emotions that have been aroused in you and the other person will become established. They'll become the normal feelings between you and will become more difficult for you to find a friendly result and to solve the reasons for the conflict. All right. So we take care of things quickly and soon, but how do we do it? What steps should we take to resolve it? Well, let's look for examples in the Bible. There's one in Matthew 18 where Jesus gave a three-step procedure to use in resolving conflict. Let's look at that for pattern. But there's something we need to keep in mind. Not every world culture thinks linearly or in a straight line. In America and Canada and much of the Western cultures, it would be usually most appropriate to take these three steps in sequence, 1, 2, 3. However, if the conflict which you're worrying about happens to be with someone from a different part of the world, a very different culture, then be sure to consult with someone who's been raised in that culture before trying to resolve the conflict, someone who's very familiar with how the people from that culture would approach something like this. These steps in this order may not be culturally appropriate in that situation, and the conflict may be only made worse if you do all of them in this order. You may have to rearrange things. Anyway, here are the steps that Jesus gave in this one example. Step 1, approach the person alone. Often, the two of you can resolve the conflict by yourselves, and your friendship will be stronger than ever before. Of course, you must choose the time, situation, and manner of approach carefully. And this works best with a relatively small conflict. If the conflict is a little larger, a little more difficult, then perhaps you will want to move on to step 2, which is find a mediator. That is, a person who is neutral. He or she is not part of the disagreement or conflict. There's someone who can help see both sides and see the possibility of resolving the conflict and then come to a peaceful solution. One definition of a mediator reads like this. A mediator is an impartial observer who listens to both sides separately and suggests how each side could adjust its position to resolve the differences. If a direct approach does not work, or if a direct one-on-one approach is not appropriate in the culture, then you should choose a mediator. Again, choose your mediator carefully, one that both sides will be happy with, one in which both sides of the disagreement can have confidence. If the situation is very serious and you're unable to solve it with steps 1 and 2, then step 3 is the next option. Take it to the church, or this could also be to your ministry organization. If neither you nor the mediator can find a resolution to the problem, then the issue should be brought before a larger body. Okay, this sounds okay, but let's get down to some basic. Are there any specific steps we can go through to help resolve a conflict? Okay, yes, there are. If you happened to listen in last week, then you may recall I read a list of guidelines for resolving conflict. So let's review that list again right now, and next week we'll look at these items, each of them, in a little more detail. Give both sides a chance to present their thoughts. Allow plenty of time for adequate discussion. Be quiet and calm. I know that's sometimes difficult, depending on the personalities and strong feelings that may be involved, but try. Be quiet and calm. Listen, and that's very important. Allow others to finish what they're saying. That also is very important. Keep to the issue. Don't get sidetracked to personalities, and that's very easy to happen. Express feelings appropriately. Apply scripture where appropriate. Propose a solution. Settle on essentials, and come to some kind of a decision if possible, and then accept the decision. And this, well, this is important too, reaffirm your friendship. Should I read those steps again real quick? Okay, this will go quickly. Give both sides a chance to present their thoughts. Allow plenty of time for adequate discussion. Be quiet and calm. Listen. Allow others to finish what they're saying. Keep to the issue. Express feelings appropriately. Apply scripture where appropriate. Propose a solution. Settle on essentials. Come to some kind of a decision, if possible, and accept the decision. And reaffirm your friendship. Before we wind this up for today, I'll just remind you again that we'll go through each of those steps in a little more detail next week. And I also want to remind you about something I mentioned here last week. It's something worth thinking about. Not all conflict is bad. Sometimes God actually uses our conflicts to advance His work. And I can recall some situations where that happened. Next week at this time, we'll take another look at conflict and what we can do about it and learn about some steps to resolve it. In case you've forgotten, what cross-cultural Christian workers ought to know about conflict is based on materials prepared by Ronald L. Kotesky.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.